Blog Talk Radio.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his holy name together. Let us enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and let us enter into his holy courts with praise. Good morning, my brothers and sisters, family and friends. You are listening to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience. And I'm the woman of God in this assembly. I am Bishop Shalene Cook, but I am being joined by members of my beautiful Spirit Alive family in the persons of Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, Evangelist Michelle Scott, and Apostle Zeta Flowers. And we will have, and more will probably be coming in shortly. But we just want to welcome you right now to our worship service. We pray in the name of Jesus that you will hear something that will truly, truly bless your soul. Hallelujah. Uplift your spirits and cause you to live a more abundant life in Christ. Amen. At this time, we are going to go to opening prayer. So won't you bow with me right now as we just usher the Lord's presence into this worship service. Most gracious and heavenly Father, we come praising you this morning because we know that there is nobody greater than you. We just want to thank you, Father God, for bringing us thus far by faith. Thank you for another beautiful week and another opportunity to come out and worship you in spirit and in truth. Father God, we just pray right now by the power of your Holy Spirit that you, Lord, will prepare our hearts and minds to receive and retain everything that we hear today. And Father, if somebody doesn't know you in the pardon of their sin, I pray that today would be the day that they would come to you and ask you to be their Lord and Savior and change their eternal address now and forever. It is in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus we do pray it all. Amen. And to God be the glory. Let the church of God say amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
About time for a war cry, though.
We love you, Bishop.
I think you ought to get your feet ready.
I feel your spirit all over me.
about you, but I feel the Spirit of the Lord all over me. Hallelujah. And that's what we have. I'm feeling good already. Praise his holy name. It is now time for this morning's meditational reading. Each and every week, we ask our highly esteemed and much beloved mother of our church, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, to come and read, bring us a meditational reading that we know is going to bless your very soul. So at this time, we just want you to give your attention to Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell as she brings us this morning's meditational reading. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop. All honor to God, and I thank you, Lord, that I'm able to be here this morning. We're going to talk about believe and act on the new covenant this morning. Per Samuel 7, verse 17, chapter 17, verse 45, which reads, "Then David said to the Philistine, 'I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied.'" Ever wonder why two people can hear the same thing and yet have very different responses? For one, what it says makes him afraid and discouraged. For the other, his heart is so filled with faith that he dares to come against the devil and what he is doing. In the valley of Elah, Goliath, the Philistine giant, taunted the armies of Israel for 40 days. When David came on the scene, he heard the same mockings of the Goliath that the rest of the Israelites heard. But somehow those same words that caused fear in the soldiers angered David. What did David know or see that the others failed to see? Well, David knew that he had a covenant with God. Now King Saul and all the soldiers with him that day also had the same covenant with God. But only David believed the covenant, and he acted on his belief. So God called his giant to come tumbling down. If David had such a great victory, even though he was under the old covenant, how much more you and I who are under the new covenant? Today God is asking, where are my Davids who will believe the new covenant? What is the new covenant? It is the covenant of grace. And grace means unmerited, undeserved, unearned favor. God wants us to know that he has cut this covenant with us through Christ, our representative. And according to the covenant, we have his undeserved favor. We are blessed because Jesus took our beating. Because of what Jesus has done on the cross, we have victory over every giant. Isn't that good news? Today, God wants you to stand before your giant and declare that in spite of what you are going through, in spite of what is happening, you believe that God is for you because of what Jesus has done for you. And then, before your very eyes, you will see the giants of accusation, intimidation, condemnation, disease, and death fall flat before you. May the Lord add favor and blessings to the hearers, readers, and especially the doers of his holy and righteous word. The thought for the day, because of what Jesus has done on the cross, we have victory over every giant. Amen, and praise the Lord.
Amen, hallelujah. Say that.
You know, people have no idea what you went through to get to where you are. So many times it seemed like it was over. But God, Isaac Kari, tell them about it.
Every time I think that I'm all by myself. In the sky, and that's where I find my help.
Somebody needs to hear this right here.
You might think that you've got it all worked
gives us what we don't deserve. That's why we say it's amazing.
You were about to lose everything.
Yep.
My God.
I know I'm not the only one who's been there.
When the doctor said in midday.
Yep.
My God.
He made the doctor.
And the devil tried to test your faith.
My God.
He thought he really had you this time.
That passer, did you pass last night? Was meant to take your life. Oh.
If you be honest, if God hadn't covered you,
it would have been you in the grave.
Yep.
Could have been you with the pain.
Right.
When the judge said 20 to life, should have been calling your name.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You are listening to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience with me, Bishop Sherlene Cook, and I'm joined by my beautiful Spirit Alive family in the persons of Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, Evangelist Michelle Scott, Apostle Zeta Flowers, Evangelist Kathy Horton, Missionary Diane Williams, and of course, all of you. It is prayer time right here at the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience. And what you need to know about us is that when we pray here, hallelujah, we pray expecting God to move.
Amen.
We stand in the gap for our brothers and sisters all over this world. Mm. We're praying for our brothers and sisters from the USA to the UK. We're praying for our brothers and sisters in Russia and China, too. We're praying for our brothers and sisters in the Philippines, in hallelujah. Mm-hmm. We're praying for our brothers and sisters down there in South America. Hallelujah. We just praise God that we have been given an opportunity to stand in the gap and pray for our brothers and sisters around the world. And we praise God because as they listen to these programs, as they listen to these worship services, they will know that they are not forgotten, not by God or by us. So at this time, please clear your minds and prepare to put your focus on Almighty God. As we go to the Lord in prayer with our very own Apostle Zeta Flowers. Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. God bless you. Good morning.
Good morning.
It is time to pray. Hallelujah. For ourselves and for others. Let us bow our heads. Father God, we come to you this morning humbly before you because we know that you are our great God. And so we come before you. You are greater than anyone, greater than anything. And so we come to you because we know that you are the one that called the whole world into existence. And you made us. We thank you today. We thank you for waking us up this morning. We thank you for allowing us to start a brand new day. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. Hallelujah. We thank you that you are present among us. We thank you that we can live and move and have our being because of you. We thank you. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We praise your holy name because you are so worthy of our praises. We thank you for grace and mercy this morning. Oh, God, you have had such mercy upon your people. Hallelujah, upon us. And we thank you for your grace because you told us that it is sufficient for us. And, Father God, we just lift up your people all over the world and every country, every continent. Hallelujah. Every place. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, every place in this world, we ask, Lord, that you would touch your people everywhere, everywhere, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We pray, Lord, that many souls will be saved, that there will be a mighty harvest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We know that it is harvest time. Hallelujah. We pray for laborers. Hallelujah. More laborers in your vineyard. Hallelujah. Jesus' name, hallelujah, that we might touch those, Lord, that have not heard of you yet, that we might touch those, Lord, hallelujah, that need to come back to you, hallelujah, the backslide, hallelujah, oh, God, and may hallelujah, you use us to bring those in, Lord, hallelujah, that have forsaken you. Hallelujah. Oh, God.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Jesus.
Oh, help your people all over this world,
yes,
Lord,
Jesus.
To surrender unto you, God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we are hearing that there's been a more outbreak in the COVID-19 virus. We ask, Lord, that you would move
touch Jesus.
In a mighty way. In the name of
Jesus, Lord Jesus,
name, we pray, Lord, that you will get the minds of you the people, Lord, that are being careful. Hallelujah! That you will get their attention in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah! That you would allow people to know. Hallelujah! That we need to be obedient to you, God. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah! In Jesus' name. So we pray, Lord, that you will go into the churches. There are churches in operation, hallelujah, right now, today, hallelujah,
touch,
we
Lord.
Pray that the protection would be upon them in the name
yes,
of Jesus.
Jesus,
hallelujah, touch the leader, Lord, and allow those call leaders to hear your voice, God, in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord God, in the name
Not
of Jesus.
Not to doing what others are doing, but to hear from you, God, hallelujah, in the name
Amen.
Of Jesus. Hallelujah, to really hear in this hour what you are saying, hallelujah, to the hallelujah to your people.
You,
oh, do it, God, in Jesus' name. We pray that you will go into hospitals, that you will touch those, Lord, that are sick. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus. There's a 12-year-old right now fighting for her life this morning. Oh, touch right now, God. In
right
the name
now,
of Jesus, hallelujah. Oh, touch in the name of Hallelujah. Bring her out of this, God. Hallelujah. There's another one over in Stockton. Hallelujah. That's a little bit older. We pray, Lord, that you would touch her in the name of Jesus. Bring them through, God, in Jesus' name. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We pray for a miracle this morning. Hallelujah. We pray for miracles in all situations where there is need of a miracle. because we know that you are a miracle-working God, and we trust
you.
Hallelujah. We believe you. We already know what you can and what you will do, hallelujah, according to the scriptures, hallelujah, and according to what we have experienced, hallelujah. We know, hallelujah, so we're trusting in you this morning, hallelujah, hallelujah. Move, hallelujah, in the fires, hallelujah.
Touch Jesus.
Situation with the fires, hallelujah, the other outbreaks of fires, hallelujah. We thank you for those that have ceased. But, oh, God, hallelujah, there are some that are continuing on, and we pray, Lord, that you would get in the midst of it in the name of
Jesus.
In the name of Jesus, hallelujah.
Yes.
Oh, God, we speak peace all over the land. In the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray that you go in the juvenile places,
jails,
jails this morning, in the name of Jesus. There are those, Lord, that are seeking you sincerely. Hallelujah. We pray for their souls. Hallelujah. And that others also, hallelujah, may look to you this morning. Hallelujah. To be saved. Hallelujah. Give them a desire to be saved. In the name of Jesus. Also lift up our own loved ones. Hallelujah. We ask, Lord, that you would touch them, that you would draw them by your spirit. Hallelujah.
Yes,
oh,
Lord.
In the name of Jesus, that you would cause them, hallelujah, to come to you, God, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Touch everywhere, God, hallelujah. Those that are still playing church, we pray that they will get your attention, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, that they will straighten up, God. Hallelujah, that they will line up.
Thank you, Jesus.
In the name of Oh, do it, Lord. In Jesus' name, we're depending on you.
Mm-hmm.
We're believing you. We're
Lord.
Knowing, hallelujah, that you are going to make a difference. And we thank you and we praise you for it. Hallelujah. We lift up the children everywhere, Lord, asking that these children be safe because oftentimes they are not safe. And oftentimes they're left with others that are not going to take good care of them, Lord. And so we pray that you will watch over our young people, watch over our youth, God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Teach them your ways, Lord. Hallelujah.
Yes,
some way, Lord, bless them to hear the gospel. Bless them to hear your word, Lord, in a way that they will understand in the name of Jesus.
Lord.
Oh, God. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Lord, I pray for the mothers and the fathers. Hallelujah, that you would instill in them, Lord, hallelujah, your ways in the name of
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah,
yes.
That they will turn to you, God, that they will be in a position to rear their own children, hallelujah, in the fear of the Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
We'll do it, God, in Jesus' name, in the mighty name of Jesus. And we just praise you. We thank you, hallelujah.
Thank
we lift
you,
up
Lord.
Alive. Streets this morning. Hallelujah. We lift up Bishop Shirlene Cook and hallelujah.
Bless
all
you.
Of all of the servant leaders everywhere in the name of
Jesus.
Hallelujah. And the need of you, God, in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh God, we might not need you for the same reasons, but we all need
but we
you.
Need
hallelujah.
You. Yes.
Oh,
amen.
Right. That our needs be met today, that you would move in our lives, hallelujah, that you would continue to strengthen us, that you would keep us, Lord, in good health in the name of Jesus, hallelujah.
Yes.
Protect us, Lord, as we go to and fro in the name of Jesus.
Lord.
Watch over us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Continue to be our rear guard, hallelujah. Continue to be our safety net, God, hallelujah. Watch over us, Lord, wherever we go in the name of Jesus. Let your hand of protection be upon us in Jesus' holy and mighty name. Now we pray, Lord, for those that are listening in this morning. We ask, Lord, that you would deposit, hallelujah, something that will make a difference in their lives. Hallelujah, that they can use, hallelujah, hallelujah, for their sake, hallelujah, and to be in that rightful place with you, God, hallelujah, serving you, hallelujah, and being an example to others in Jesus' holy name, and we thank you for it, amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Let the church of God say amen, hallelujah, thank you,
amen.
Jesus,
amen.
Hallelujah. Religious church. Wherever you are, I need you to put your hands on it like this. Come on. Yep. Everybody clap like this, y'all. Like this, y'all. We want to see you.
So open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Just open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Say, I want to see you. Just open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, cause I want to see you.
That's our heart today.
I want to see you.
Wherever you are, let's raise it together. Come on, take it. Come on, if you want to see him in the midst of the noise, in the midst of the chaos.
I want to see.
Come on, just ask him today. Oh, 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 say, open the eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
I want to see it like you see.
Open the eyes of my heart.
I want to see you, oh God. Say, I want to see you.
I want to see you.
Let's go. Desire, God. We just want you and only you. All over the world, let's sing it together. Say, open the eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
We want your perspective, God. Give us your perspective.
Open the eyes of my heart.
Oh, I want to see. For my family, I need to see. For my business, God, I need to see you. Come on. Say, open the eyes. Come on, talk to him.
I wanna
see you. You're what we want, oh God, and I wanna see you. See, I wanna
see you.
Give us your eyes today, God. Give us your view today. Give us your perspective today. Help us to see through your lens today, oh God. Help us to see that everything is gonna be alright, and I wanna see you.
I wanna see you.
Oh God, say
I wanna see you.
Lift those hands right here. Say
I wanna see you.
Hallelujah and glory to God. Saints of God, it is now time for this morning's message. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Please retrieve your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of John chapter 9. We will be looking at verses 1 through 41 today. Yes, indeed. Because today we're going to be wrapping up our series of messages dealing with close encounters of the Christ kind from the book of John. And our passage this morning contains so much truth that we won't be able to discuss it all. But when you think about it, all of our encounters with Jesus have been this way. But I believe that today's message is especially rich in what it means when we take the time to have a close encounter of the Christ kind. Most gracious and Heavenly Father, I come down before your throne of grace asking you to empty me of self. Let me decrease, Father God, so that you will increase. Father, remove me from self. Step into my body of clay and tell your children what you would have them to know about yourself so that someone might be edified as you are glorified, Father God, so that someone that doesn't know you and the pardon of their sin will come to you and ask you to be their Lord and Savior. And, Father God, I'm praying for the hearts and the minds of your people to receive what you have for them this morning and to retain it in order for them to live a more abundant life in you. In Jesus' name, I do pray it all. Amen. As I've said, this is a long passage, so if you would just follow along with me, I'm going to walk you through this real quick, and then we're going to get on to the praise and worship of everybody. Hallelujah. That's the only reason I love bringing a message, because I then love to hear the saints of God touch and agree, hallelujah, about the goodness of God. So, in John 9, Jesus and his disciples were walking along one day when the disciples spotted a man who had been born blind. And they asked a question about him that really reveals a lot about our thought tendency. They wanted to know who had sinned, this man or his parents, to cause him to be born blind. Obviously, someone had to have sinned against God for him to punish this poor man the way he had. But you know what? Jesus didn't pursue this line of thought too much, because he answered like this. Neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. You see, Jesus said that the man had been born blind for a time such as this. So Jesus walked over. He picked up some dirt off the ground. He spat in it, mixed it up into a paste, and smeared it in the man's eyes. Then he told the man to go and wash himself in the pool of Siloam. The man went and washed and was healed miraculously that day. His friends couldn't believe it. They began asking if he was really the same man. And after determining that he was, they took him to the Pharisees. They wanted to know what had happened to him. So the man got his story together. Now, you need to understand that the Pharisees were enraged because Jesus had healed this man on the Sabbath. So they wanted to know if it was real or not. Who was this man who had healed him? They decided to call in the man's parents and get them to vouch for the man. But his parents were afraid of the Pharisees and the great power that they wielded in the land. So instead of helping their son, they told the Pharisees to let the man speak for himself. And thanks to God, he did. But it got pretty ugly as the man stood up for himself before these men. It wound up getting him kicked out of the synagogue, which was a very significant thing in this time and day. But it put him right in the path of a second encounter with Jesus for that day.
Yes.
You see, Jesus found the man after the Pharisees got done with him, and he led him to place his faith in him as his Savior. You see, Jesus made a worshiper out of this man, then told the Pharisees that it was really them who suffered from the worst kind of blindness of all, spiritual blindness. So why has God included this story in his word for us? Why did God bother to have John record this miraculous but true account of an encounter between an omniscient, all-knowing and all-seeing God and this blind nobody who had been kicked to the curb by society? As I told you earlier, there are many things that can be pulled from this passage today, but I'm just going to leave you with very six simple points. First of all, we cannot argue the goodness of God according to our circumstances. What was the question they asked? Who sinned? Obviously, somebody must have sinned, or this man wouldn't have been afflicted with blindness. Now, this is actually some really messed up thinking, saints of God. Think about it. What sin could the blind man have possibly committed to have been born blind? This man would have had to have been committing sin in the womb. But isn't that how many of us think today? See, it doesn't have to be blindness. It could be any number of things in our life: sickness, financial stress, marital stress, loss of a job, a car accident, whatever the case may be. And some of us seem to have this warped idea that our circumstances are indicators of God's goodness or God's judgment in our lives. Now, Jesus doesn't say that bad circumstances are never the result of God's judgment, but with this man, it just wasn't the case. Mm-hmm. Listen, we can't look at our life or anyone else's life and ask the question, who sinned? We can't look at our neighbor's failing marriage and decide that one of them has been in sin, because that may or may not be true. And the same is true with our lives. Some of us are going through so many trying circumstances right now that we could go around the room and we could all name something that we're going through. But what we can't do is argue the goodness of God according to our circumstances. Let me ask you something. Is God good? I mean, is he really good? Is he good when payday comes around, but then your company can't afford to pay you what you work for? Is he good when you're healthy and fit, but then you're robbed of your health and you can't do what you used to do? Is he good when you have a new baby and that new baby dies? Do we need to keep going? The Bible says that the goodness of God endures forever. Do you believe that? The man in our story had been born blind. Think about that. He had never seen the beauty of a sunrise or a clear starlit night. He had never seen the birds that sang in Jerusalem or the wonders of Herod's temple. He had never beheld the sight of a child playing or that mother who loved and cared for him. From birth, the man was reduced to the life of a beggar, a second-class nobody that, as I mentioned before, had been kicked to the curb of society and had no hope of anything better. And God, in his goodness, actually made the man this way. So, why was this man born blind? Why did this man have to endure such a terrible life? He was born blind just so Jesus could heal him on a day like today. When we look at a life like this one, how do we know that God is good? We know that God is good not by the circumstances, but we know God is good by his eternal and perfect word. You see, we can't argue the goodness of God in our life by our circumstances. What we base goodness on his word.
Amen.
Secondly, we can't always expect God to work the same way in our life. I am simply amazed by this story. Jesus spits into a handful of dirt and smears it into the man's eye. And we can really say that this man never saw it coming. When Jesus worked at the wedding, how did he turn the water into wine? When he healed the nobleman's son, he never touched the boy, never met him as far as we know, never even spoke the word to heal him. He just told the nobleman that his son was healed. When Jesus calmed the stormy sea, he simply commanded it to be still. When the woman with the issue of blood encountered Jesus, she touched his robe and she felt his healing body, his power flow through her body.
Yes.
In Matthew 9, Jesus healed some other blind men by simply touching their eyes. In Mark 8, Jesus met another blind man, and the Bible says that he spit in his eyes, then put his bare hands over his eyes, and then asked the man if he could see. The man said yes, but only blurrily. Jesus put his hands over the man's eyes again, which resulted in complete healing.
Yes.
Here we have Jesus using spit to make a mud pie paste for a man's eye. Now, you might be asking yourself, why didn't he just speak the word? Why didn't he just command their eyesight to be restored? He could have, but he didn't. Why? Because God doesn't work that way. Sometimes when I'm in great need, God will provide through one of you. Other times, he may provide an extra bit of work. He may bring a wedding along. I have even seen it where the need didn't even get met. I just had the privilege of doing without. But why does God work this way in our lives? Well, when we go to God in our helplessness and hopelessness during a point of crisis, then our circumstances become matters of faith. If God always worked the same way in our life, we'd fall into the same trap that the children of Israel continually fell into. In the Bible, we're told how time and time again they would fall into sin. God would allow them to be oppressed by their enemies. They would cry out to God, and then he would deliver them. And they repeated this pattern over and over, so much that they began to presume on God's goodness and faithfulness. They felt that all they had to do was cry for a little while, and God would come running. And some of us operate with that mindset today. We're no different than they were. We believe that if we cry out to God long enough, he will eventually come running. But what if he doesn't? When God doesn't come running when we call, it will become a matter of faith all over again. And I want to encourage all of us to remember that when our circumstances are tough and we face problems in our life, we can't go to God like we already know what he's going to do, you see. We can't think that we're so familiar with God and his word that we're looking for him to do one thing and we miss the great blessing of God's freshness and newness in our lives. When we're pouring out our heart and when we're crying out to him, we must be open to whatever he does, and then we must act in faith.
Amen.
So Jesus walks up to this guy. He spits into a handful of dirt and smears it in his eyes, and he says, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. But Jesus, now the man could have said, but Jesus, that's not what you did for the other blind guy. But Jesus, can't you just heal me? Can't you just touch me? This man didn't question Jesus not one little bit. He just was obedient and went on and washed in that pool of Siloam, which was pretty remarkable considering that this man had little knowledge of who Jesus was at the time. You see, when Jesus shows up in our lives, we must trust what he says. Then we must act in obedience and shall just sit back and wait for the blessing.
Yes.
And you might just be surprised what he does.
Amen.
Thirdly, we can always expect God's work in our life to draw attention. For you see, look what happened when Jesus healed the blind man. Verse 8 says that his neighbors had to know. Ooh, they had to know. Then some other people had to know. Then they took him to the Pharisees, and they wanted to know. They brought in the parents. And I love their answer in verse 20. They said, well, that's our son, all right. But listen, we want to know too. The man immediately became the talk of the town. He was no longer that blind nobody begging on the street. He was a seeing somebody that people were drawn to. Nothing like this had ever happened before. And they were saying, so tell us all about it. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that what being a witness is all about? Let me tell you something. We don't have to know a lot of theology to talk about Christ or his work in our lives. All we've got to do is tell somebody what we do know. And God will do the rest. Have you been saved? You got a story to tell. Has the Lord brought you out of debt and your friends want to know about it? You've got a story to tell. Is God doing a wonderful work of grace in your life? Well, he wants to draw attention to that work. So don't lie, hide your light under a bushel. Let it shine. Tell somebody about the goodness of the Lord in your life. So what if you don't have all the details figured out? What did our man say to the Pharisees in verse 25? He said, look, I don't know all the answers to your questions, but I know this. I was blind this morning, but now I can see.
Yeah.
That's all that man needed to know.
Amen.
He woke up blind, and
yes.
Now he can see.
Praise God.
You know, and then immediately, the man, this brings us to our fourth point. He was prepared to choose a side. Thanks to God, we should always be prepared to choose a side. Some might consider it cruel that after Jesus healed the man that he hid out in town and he watched the whole scene unfold. But the Lord did that. Have you ever noticed how often it is that right after a person gets saved or they decide to do a work for the Lord, that they go through some of the toughest trials that they've ever had to endure in their life? Have you ever noticed that so often God allows us to be tested right after we experience a wonderful work of grace in our life? You know, here we go. We're just walking along, glory, and everything seems great because God has been doing so much for us. This smack, splat, kaboom, plat. Right out of nowhere comes this thing, this circumstance, this person in our life that just knocks us for a loop. Well, that's what happened here. What seemed to start out as great curiosity got real serious, real fast. You see, this man got a real education about taking sides. You see, the Pharisees weren't particularly enthused that this man could now see. They were upset because Jesus had picked up dirt on the Sabbath. He had violated their law, and they were looking for a reason to kill him anyway. This man is a sinner. He was condemned already as far as they were concerned. Then notice that when the parents got drugged into it, they backed away real fast. You know, they're like a lot of people we see today. Oh, girl, I got your back. Oh, brother, I got your back. And they so far back there in a whole different state. But there was a reason for that. And John explains it in verse 22. You see, John explains that there would be lifelong, hear me, lifelong social, religious, and economic repercussions for anyone associating themselves with Jesus. So what is our blind man standing in it all? Well, he takes his stand with Jesus. Look at verse 27. He chooses sides when he says to the Pharisees, will you also be his disciples? Huh. Read with me how this goes on in verse 28. Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, why herein is a marvelous thing that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God hears not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened his eyes to the one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he wouldn't be able to do anything. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sin, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Oh, they were furious. Oh, they got mad. Here was this nobody telling them what they needed to do. Think about it. This man wasn't even saved yet, but he still took sides with Jesus. Yes. He may have been blind, but even he could see what was going on right about now. And listen to this. Write it down if you have to. This man's gratitude was so great, there was no denying it. You see, I truly believe if you and I ever come to a place in our lives where we are profoundly touched by what God has done for us, we will realize just how blessed we are. And our gratitude will be so great, we don't care what nobody says. Because, see, while we go to, I know that I know that I know. I was blind, but now I can see. So when we know that we know that we know that God has done a thing in our life, we ain't going to let nobody turn us around. Jesus told a story one day about two men whose debt had been forgiven them. One with a small debt, the other with a great debt. But both men were released from their debt. He said, if this man owed me $5 and you owed me $500, and I told you both that I was releasing you from your debt, which of you would have the greater appreciation for me? See how that works? When we truly understand what God has done for us, we won't be able to deny his work in our lives. And we don't care how fierce the opposition is. We really don't. We're going to stand flat-footed on the word and the promises of God. We also need to know that we have a guarantee that God's work always leads us to a greater depth of revelation. Very quickly, I want you to see this. When the man was questioned about who healed him, what did he say in verse 11? He said, a man that is called Jesus. When the Pharisees pressed him for an answer, what did he say in verse 17? He said, he is a prophet. When Jesus confronted him later that day, what did the man say in verse 38? He called him Lord. You see, the further along the man came, the greater his level of understanding became of who Jesus was. Amen. And the same should always be true in our lives.
Yes.
There is something terribly wrong in our lives if our understanding of Jesus today is the exact same as it was yesterday. If Jesus Christ in this chapter of your life is still the same Jesus that he was in that last chapter, then you've been missing out on the greatest blessing of your spiritual life. Because God wants us to grow in our level of understanding. He wants to reveal himself to us in a greater way each and every day of our life. He is the God of creation. He is Almighty God who is always fresh, new, alive, and active every day.
Yeah.
Now, how does God lead us to greater depths of revelation? Well, it's most quickly done through our wounding, through that crisis of belief, through some great difficulty in our life. But like I said, God doesn't always have to work this way. Why? Because God doesn't always work the same in our life. He's the God of newness. He's the God of freshness, of creativity, of imagination, and adventure. And I wonder if someone within the sound of my voice has allowed their relationship with Jesus Christ to grow stale and cold. You know, you're not growing or reaching new depths of understanding. So guess what? You're no longer excited about Jesus. If that's you today, I've got good news. You can receive new sight today. God wants to show you so much, but you've got to admit to him that you've been blinded by the humdrum. You've been blinded by the routine. You've been blinded by familiarity. You've been blinded by sin or whatever else has been in your life that has been keeping you from growing in your relationship with the Most High God. Number six, and finally, we can be sure that there is no blindness in the world like spiritual blindness. On that day long ago, a blind man received sight. Then a seeing man saw the light. Jesus said in verse 35, "Do you believe on the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And Jesus said unto him, "You have both seen him, and it is he that talks with you." And he said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. Now, I just praise God for that. There are a lot of awesome things in the Bible, but I believe that this is one of the greatest. This man has been witnessing for Christ, standing up for Christ, defending Christ, getting persecuted for Christ, but he had never so much as seen him or carried on a conversation with him. He wasn't even saved. But he had seen where he had been and realized who this was and that he had done and what he had done. Now he can see.
Yeah.
The word worship here means that the man fell prostrate at Jesus' feet in homage and adoration. You see, he worshiped him. That's what Jesus is always after with these close encounters. He wants us to bring us to a place of worship. Now, while the man was lying at his feet, Jesus looked up at the Pharisees and said, "For judgment I have come into the world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind." And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, "Are we blind also?" Jesus said unto them, "If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, we see. Therefore, your sin remains." You know something? They were never going to be able to convince that blind man that he couldn't see. He already knew it. And he knew who was at work. Now, Jesus said in another place, "I didn't come for the healthy, but I came for the sick." Do you know why people miss Jesus Christ? Do you know why people miss his blessings? They miss him because they are spiritually blind and can't see him. Or now, in their minds, they may think they see just fine. You know, they've got their health. They have wealth and consider themselves to be a moral person. You know what I'm saying? They don't drink, curse, or chew. And they don't steal, kill, or lie, or cheat. So as far as they're concerned, they're all right. But I tell you today that they're more blind than they could ever realize. When we allow ourselves to see ourselves for who and what we really are, we will come to realize just how helpless and blind we truly are. Then, and only then, are we in a position to get the help that we need from Jesus. The blind man's eyes were anointed, and he was sent to wash in the healing waters. Sight came. And beloved, this is still the characteristic work of Jesus for you, for me, and for the rest of the world. He wants to shatter darkness for all of eternity. Now, I want you to note once again that the man saw four things. He saw the wonder and beauty of creation, the faces of fellow men. He saw himself and Jesus, whom he owed everything. Doesn't God open our eyes to the glory of his creation? Does he not open our eyes to our fellow man, seeing them as children of God? Not as a part of a machine or factors in some race problem, not just faces in the crowd. Does he not open our eyes to ourselves, seeing ourselves as the prophet of old who saw himself unfit for God's presence? Does he not open our eyes to himself? No longer is he someone we read about in a book, or we hear about in church, or argue about in some discussion. He opens our eyes, and we can see him as the very center of our lives, the light before which all darkness must flee, the wisdom that brings about all truth, a new vision, because he is the very light of the world. Beloved, if Christianity was just based on theory, by theory it could be disproved and demolished. If it is only on psychological basis, then psychologists could tear it apart. because it is based on actual events, history, and solid facts of life of the redeemed and men made new. There is nothing that can shake it. It stands on its own merit, and it's been standing at the right hand of the Father for over 2,000 years. Now, note the reaction of the man when he was talking to the Pharisees. I mean, he got a little upset. The man got dipped. He might have not been saved, but he was like, why are you questioning me? Do you want to become a disciple too? Oh, what did he say that for? Because they immediately began to cast their aspersions on Jesus' character. The former blind man had his face become more and more explicit. First he said, it was a man called Jesus, a prophet, someone from God. Now the enemy became so enraged that they excommunicated him. Now here is the conclusion of the whole matter. Jesus, hearing that he had seen, had been cast out, went and found him. And he asked him, do you believe on the Son of God? And the man answered, I believe. Notice that Jesus went and found him. You know, much is said about finding God as if all the search is on our side, as if man takes the initiative. The New Testament declares that this is very untrue. Because all the time God is seeking us, all the time God is wanting to choose us. John 15:16-19 says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. That's what Jesus said. That's what Jesus, the Logos, had to say. Now, the Holy Spirit can awaken at the desires of God in our hearts, but it is nothing compared to or with the compassionate longing of God's heart for us. Jesus first opened the eyes of the blind man, and then he opened the eyes of the man's heart. And his response was to believe. The man said, I believe. And he worshiped God. He worshiped Jesus. Here we leave this former blind man kneeling before Christ on the side of the road, worshiping him for all he was worth. And saints of God, brothers and sisters, my friends, Jesus is standing today. He wants to open the eyes of your heart. He wants you to come to know him for who he truly is. We don't have to fix ourselves up to go to Jesus. What we need to do is go to him, helpless and hopeless, like a little child, knowing that we can't make a deal with God. Mm-hmm. But the deal is God loves us.
Yes.
And he's going to protect us because he said so. He's going to rescue us because he's already done so.
Amen.
I love how the meditational reading always lines up with the Word of God.
Amen.
See, we don't have to go to God, you know, in ourselves. Well, you know, God, I'm a real good Christian. You know, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't lie, I don't cheat, I don't fornicate, I don't commit. Oh, I'm good. God says, no. Look here, little modern day Pharisee. I need you to understand something. Your performance has nothing to do with my grace. See, when you encounter Jesus, you have an encounter with grace. When you encounter Jesus, you have an encounter with unconditional love. When you encounter Jesus, hallelujah, you have access to all the revelations of God, all the provisions of God. Everything that God wants has for you, he will give it to you, and there is nobody down here on the earth, under the earth, over the earth or around the earth that can stop him.
Stop it. Amen. Right. Amen.
When we learn how to just encounter Christ on the daily, we can say with Holy Ghost boldness, my Father keeps me in perfect peace. Because when he's dealing with your battle, you can stay in perfect peace.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we know who God is and that he so loved us that he gave up the ghost. He died, that he let them hang him out, stretch him wide, all because he loves us so.
Right.
And if you don't know Jesus in the pardon of your sin today, I want you to allow God to open the eyes of your heart so that you will come to know that there is nobody bigger, better, or greater than God. And don't worry about how jacked up you are, because God really does have the ability to turn a mess into a masterpiece. Just give it over to him.
Yeah.
Give it over to him.
Jesus.
And let him open the eyes of your heart. And you don't have to wait for the COVID to be over. You don't have to wait and go to some church or wait for the doors to open up to give your life to Jesus. All you have to do is stop, drop, and sincerely pray to God and confess your sins. Lord Jesus, look, I'm a sinner, but I believe that you are the Son of the living God. And
yeah.
I believe that you came and you died and you rose. Then you make it personal here, saints, just for me.
Just for me.
Just for me. And see, when you start telling God, you know, understanding he did what he did just for you, it makes you think about all the things that you want to do just for him.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. When I think about how God brought me through that car accident, I couldn't serve God enough. I couldn't praise God enough. When I think about the tumors, those cancerous tumors that they removed from my body, I can't help but to give God praise and glory. Because
you,
I am healthy. I am healthy. I'm cancer free. I am, you know, there ain't no cancer around. There ain't nothing going on up around here but praise and worship.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
So allow God to open your eyes so you won't be spiritually blind. Let God open your eyes so you can see the destiny that he has created just for you.
Yes.
Allow God to open your eyes so that he can walk you through your process of reaching your destiny. And it's when you do that, hallelujah. You can sing right now, I've got victory. Yes, indeed.
Yes.
And when you know that you've got the victory in Christ Jesus, you will tell the Pharisees, you will tell the haters, you will tell the naysayers, you will tell every devil in hell, huh. I know who I am. I know whose I am, and I am going to continue to walk with my Lord and Savior. Amen. 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 And to God be the glory. Well, thanks to God, that's my message for today.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That is my message for today. And I truly hope that you enjoyed this series, you know, because we all need close encounters with Jesus, you know, those close encounters of the Christ kind. So that we can grow in grace, grow in love, grow in peace, grow in joy, grow in everything that God wants us to grow in. Amen. So
Amen.
At this time, what we're going to do right now is, see, I just don't stop. You know, I just don't preach a message and send people on out into the world wondering whether or not they got it. Now is because, see, we know that doesn't help anybody. So right now I'm going to ask all of you and our Spirit Alive staff, we're going to come together and touch and agree and praise and worship together and testify to that word. If you have a prayer request after hearing this message and you have a prayer request, let it be known. If you have a praise, let it be known. If God has blessed you, you need to let it be known. See, that's what's wrong with God's people. God is doing miraculous things in our lives, but we don't want to tell nobody. It's almost like we're selfish. We don't want to tell nobody what God has done because we're afraid that he might do it for them too. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And I'm telling everybody about the goodness of God. I'm telling them, I'm saying, you need to try it for yourself. Because that's what an encounter what the Most High God does for you. Amen. So the way this works is if you press your 1 on your keypad, what I will do is address you by your area code and the last 4 digits of your phone number. I want to let everyone know that we are at capacity here today. We do have almost 200 people in the room. So when you make your comment, I want you to please be brief so that we can get as many people that want to have a word in as possible. Amen. Area code 510, last 4 digits, 9424. Good morning, and God bless you. Welcome to the praise party.
Good morning. God bless you as well. Ah, what a good word that was this morning. And in my spirit, it's spoken. It said, you are David. Ah, I thank God. I thank God, you know, for placing spiritual leaders in my life. You know, I have 3 thus far, and I am really learning the word and learning how to go to God in prayer and have faith, you know. And now my job, I am a helper on my job, you know, and it was getting really grim there, you know, and my helpers was telling me, just pray. Just pray. So every day I was praying. I'm just praying. So they wanted to eliminate my position, but I'm just praying and I'm doing my works, and I know that I'm not there for the paycheck. I'm there to do the works for God, to
glory.
Work in the service of my people.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And wanted to eliminate my position. They were going through everybody, asking how their works were and everything. But instead of eliminating my position, God put it on their heart. Give her a pay raise. And I just,
hallelujah. All right, that's what he does, favor.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Hallelujah, yes. For favor. Favor.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
My works were in vain, and no one was recognizing my word. Nobody cared about my work. So then I just said, you know what? I'm working for Jesus. I don't care what.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. That's it. There it is.
I didn't know it, but they had been watching me since June. God put it.
My Lord.
That lady back to June up until the present for her good works that she has done and has been doing and continue to do, and give her a pay raise.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
I thank God for it, because in my company, heads are rolling. They roll.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Won't he do it?
I walk by faith and not by sight. I'm there for my people and not for the paycheck. And I just
there you
God.
Go. There it is.
Yes.
Amen. Mother Mitchell, come on into the room.
Amen. Praise God.
Praise God.
Wonderful message. And as my other sister said, I praise God for the message and the messenger. And I want to just say, I'm going to be real, real short. There's just so much, but it was laid out so simple and so wonderfully. I just want to say to my young people out there, when we give praises to our God, our Creator, the great I Am, He rejoices. He rejoices in our praises. He loves to receive praises from us. And when blessings go up, praises come down. So if you want to have a close encounter of the Christ kind, lean on the Lord. Let him know that you love him, no matter what's happening.
Yes.
You can be hurting so bad you can't hardly breathe through it. Just let him know he still loves you. Just let him know that you know that he is God. And nobody can change that. There's nothing bigger, wider, deeper. There's nothing better than
you,
he
Jesus.
Is. So just lean on him and keep leaning on him.
All right.
It gets better, because he is the one that can make it better. He is all and all. Thank you, Bishop.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mother. Thank you. Hallelujah. Now, if you're listening for the first time, I tell everybody, yes, that is my biological, sure enough, stomp down mother. Now, although I have a whole posse of spiritual mothers, But that's my mama right there. Hey, hallelujah. And she just brought it. Hallelujah. Now to my little sister, Evangelist Michelle Scott. Come on in the room, honey.
Thank you, T.
Hello. Thank you for that wonderful message, Bishop. And I just wanted to say that isn't it a blessed thing that Jesus doesn't look at us like man does and just see the flaws and our disabilities and things like man does. You know, he didn't, the people just saw this man is blind and went straight to the parents must have sinned. Some people look like, you know, they feel like that too, you know, to this day, even though that's, you know, and so we have to be careful of that. We always, people go to the negative to this day. Someone must have done something wrong, or they must have been on drugs or didn't do prenatal care. The mom didn't take her prenatal care or, you know, didn't take care of herself. But it's so wonderful to know that we serve a good God. And when he shows up, he shows out in your life. So just as mother said, you know, just as mother said to the young people, I want to say that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. So,
amen.
You know, need to lean to the one that is Jesus. And if you are ever hurting or anything is going on in your life, that's what that Bible is, the blueprint. There is nothing that can ever go on in your life that is not mapped out in that Bible. Any situation that you go through in life, doesn't matter what it is, young people and older people too, because sometimes we forget. The blueprint is right there. And what I love about the Bible, my dad, who's also a pastor, showed me a long time ago what God did when that Bible was written. If it's in one book, is backed up in another book, and sometimes another and another. So thank you again, Bishop. I love you so much.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. We want to just praise God for that. And look, I was up here praising God. All right, Sister Kathy, Evangelist Kathy Horton, baby, I know you got a word. Come on. Come on, little firecracker.
God
I'm ready
bless
for you,
you
this morning.
God bless you all. And as I said before, God bless the message and God bless the messenger.
Yeah,
look,
bless you, sis.
God is just wonderful. I don't want to be so blind when I see the love of God heal somebody, and I am so lack in love and compassion, I complain about it.
Come
what
on.
Is wrong
That's
with the picture? When God is blessing somebody, we can't rejoice with them. We God with them. We done got
come
so
on.
Cold and so stiff and so religious and caught up in our denominational belief that we can't
come
believe
on,
God.
Say that.
These
come
people
on.
Were called, these were Pharisees. These were supposed to be well-taught, well-learned, well-educated on the word, and they didn't
come on.
See the truth. They were just that blind. You know, it's amazing. It's amazing the lack of compassion that we have. The Bible
say
says
that.
In the book of Jude, compassion makes a difference.
Yeah.
But what I've learned from this is to have compassion and go be caught up in
Lord.
My glory. Well, I can't see the glory of God and in the manifestation of his love through healing, deliverance, because somebody is different for not agreeing with me at the time. You know, it's not, it ain't about us. It's about God.
Okay. Yes, say
that. Simple. Let's not make this thing complicated. It's very
simple. Come on.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes shall not perish but have everlasting life. But in the meantime, I'm going to manifest my love through my, I love that term. I'm going to manifest my love through my servant workers. Servant workers, I love that. It's so, I love that term. Be a servant. Be obedient.
Yeah.
Show compassion, whereas God can use you. Take that down. Well, you mean to tell us we're blind? Yes, you are.
Yes, you are.
He told them straight, yes, you are. You are sinners.
Yeah, you're blind.
You can't see. Okay? Don't get self-righteous. Don't get caught in your glory. Remember, the Holy Ghost. It's the Spirit of God that's working in you, whereas you can bring in your harvest. And remember who you're talking to. I don't care if they don't look like you, and I'm going to cut this off. I'm going to shut up. Remember, God brought you here and put you in position to be one of two things, one planet and one water, but God gave us the increase.
Yeah.
You bring people in your life where they need the word. Give it to them because they don't look like you, or they don't smell like you, or they don't dress like you. Tell them who Jesus is. Tell them the word says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or the seed beg bread because of the God
for bread.
Worship.
Amen.
Remember, be that servant. Be that servant.
Amen.
And humble yourself. Humble yourself because you are handpicked by God. God bless you, Saint.
Yeah. Oh, say that. I can't remember you.
Amen.
Amen. See, that's what I'm talking about. See, that's how I come every week. Instead of, you know, we just have a message and then we go head on and we hang up from the studio. See, I believe that it is in our unity. It is in our love. It is in our conviction that God is working through us all so that we can come together and present a united front against the wiles of the enemy. And I just love the comments and how my family just comes in and they pick it up and they run with it because they might say something that someone in China might really click with. They might say something that somebody sitting down in Peru might click with. See, I am not so arrogant as to think I can reach everybody. I can't. Everybody doesn't like my style. Everybody won't like to hear the sound of my voice. But I want to make sure that people are given as many opportunities to hear the word as they possibly can so that they might hear something that will cause them to seek Jesus.
Oh, God.
You still have time to add your word of praise to this mix. Hallelujah. You don't have to be shy. There is no right thing to say. There is no wrong thing to say. If you just glad to be in the house, you can just say that. We're not here to, you know, I'm not asking you to be a Bible scholar. Like I just told you, we don't have to know all the ins and outs of how God works. All we have to know is he does. He works. He works it out.
Yes,
so while I scroll, see, I'm over here doing my executive producing thing. But while I continue to scroll, I'm going to ask Apostle Zeta to come on in the room.
Praise God. The message was good. I enjoyed the message and as well as the messenger.
Bless you.
Every comment. I don't have much to say on it because it was really brought out very plainly, and those that commented said some of the things I would have said. But I really paid attention to everything that was said. We have to remember that God is a miracle worker.
Yeah,
and when we begin to think that certain things are too hard or we have to live with it or put up with it. We don't have to because there is nothing too hard for him to work out or to do or to heal. This man was born blind. It didn't make any difference whether someone was born blind or someone became blind just today.
Yeah.
He's still who he is.
Yeah.
And with all the things that are going on in this world today that many people are concerned about, and it's very understandable. Some people aren't working right now. Some people don't have income coming in. Some people are being forced to move. All kinds of things are happening, so we can understand their concernment, but nothing is too hard for God.
Amen. We need the healing.
If we need a miracle, if something looks like it's impossible, the Bible tells us with God all things are possible. So
yes,
we don't have to give up on anything, no matter what it is, no matter how long you've had it, you know, or how long you've needed it. It doesn't matter. We serve a God that can do anything but fail.
Yes.
This is a great passage. It brought out some really, really good points here. And then he turned around to those that that appeared to be so religious, and he put them in their place. Bishop said earlier, open the eyes of your hearts.
Yes.
You know, if we can do that, we will be compassionate, like Evangelist Catholic was saying.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible tells us that Jesus moved with compassion.
Yes,
he did.
That was
his lifestyle. He moved with compassion.
Yes,
and so
he did.
We need to also, we need to be more like him, be compassionate over those that are without, over those that seem like they are less than. They're not really, because Jesus loves us all the same.
Yes, he does.
All right.
Amen. Oh, she said, all right. I love it. You know what? It's so, I sit over here and I just be wanting to shout. Because it is awesome when you can bring a message and everyone, the servant leaders are so fired up. They can preach the message. They can add on a whole other message. But that's what we want to happen. That's the goodness of the Lord. That's his Holy Spirit moving from heart to heart and breast to breast. This is how I know that Christ is moving in this ministry. Hallelujah. Now, today, saints of God, I had a very, we have joining us a very beautiful young lady. Her name is Terry. She is my neighbor. And on yesterday, her mother was taken to the hospital. So family, we just want to love on her for a minute because, you know, that's what we do. So our beautiful sister, Sister Terry, we just want you to know we are very happy that you came today. We want you to know that God loves you and he is going to, and he loves your mom. So we just want you to know, precious one, that we are praying. Let us bow because I just feel led to say a special prayer, family. Let's cover our little sister. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, we come now just praising you for Terry, Lord God. We just praise you, Lord, that she is seeking your face. And, Lord, we know that as soon as we decide to seek your face, Lord, and come into a closer walk with you, the enemy gets busy. But, Lord God, we know, as we have, it's been said, that we can do everything. You can do everything but fail. So, Lord God, I ask right now that you strengthen our little sister Terry, Lord, as she goes forth to see about the business with the rest of her family, Jesus. And we just pray in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you would keep her in perfect peace, that you would fulfill her joy, because the joy of the Lord is indeed her strength, Father God. So, Lord, we come standing in the gap for our sister. We come standing in the gap, Lord, saying that we love her and we know that you love her and we know that you will work this situation out. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, we do pray. And we plead the blood of Jesus over our sister and her entire family. Amen. Right now, do it for us now, Jesus. Sister Terry, would you like to have a word this morning, dear? Amen.
Hello.
Yes, baby. Good morning.
Thank you. Thank you all. And,
it's all right, baby. It's all right.
Let him use you.
The devil is he's really trying. He is really trying.
Oh,
it's okay.
My Lord.
All right.
It's okay, baby. We got you. We got you. We holding up the bloodstained banner over you, baby. We got you. It's all right. Take your time. Take your time. It's all right, baby.
I just wanted to say I got up early this morning thinking I was going to miss this live and everything, and I woke up to text messages from my daughter that her and my sister went at it so bad on Facebook. And the first thing I wanted to do was wanted to curse my sister, but something told me don't do it because I know I'm being tested. I know I'm being tested.
Amen. Well, the wonderful thing about our Lord and
Savior. That's all. He's giving you a testimony.
Amen. And you know what, baby sister? You know the wonderful thing about it is God doesn't give us more than we can handle. He always gives us a way of escape, and that escape is Him. So you just continue to pray to Him, talk to Him. You know, He will work this thing out because
he is
a heart fixer and a mind regulator. He is that miracle worker. He can do with people that which we can never do with people because we're not Him. So we just want you to know that the entire Spirit Alive family, and we'll be praying for you. We will be keeping you lifted up. We will be keeping this situation lifted up because we know that because of your faith and you are wanting to get closer to God, that the enemy is going to try to come and sift you as wheat. But let me tell you something. While he's trying to sift, what you need to remember is Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, and he's praying for you. And when Jesus is praying for you, he is the one that can bring all things into fruition. If he's praying for you, what can Satan or anybody else do unto you? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. All Satan can do is roar, but he don't have no peace. He don't have no power. He can't get no toehold in when you resist him through the word of God and prayer and praise and worship. So we just want you to know that we're here for you. Excuse me. No, you ain't Satan. We're here for you. We love you. And we praise God for you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right, there's still time. If anybody else wants to get in on this praise party, you can get in on the praise party. We can't give God enough praise, children. We really can't. But I just want to praise God for all that we've heard today. I want to praise God for all the comments from all the anointed saints. I want to thank God for Sister Terry's transparency. So many people, they want to act like when once we come to the Lord, they want to act like we don't have no problems anymore. Oh, no, no, not us. We don't have any problems. But when you decide to give your life to the Lord, you're going to have to make that choice every day. Who am I going to serve? Am I going to serve Jesus? Or am I going to fall prey to the people of this world? I'm going to choose Jesus. Hallelujah. So if there be nothing else, I will have Mother Mitchell come. She will bring us the benediction, and I will dismiss you. Amen.
Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Amen.
Let the church of God say amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This has been the
amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This has been the Spirit Alive praise and worship experience. And you can catch us right here every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Central, and 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. I am Bishop Shalene Cook, and I was joined by my very beautiful and anointed Spirit Alive family in the persons of Mother Shirley Snyder
Snyder Mitchell, Evangelist Michelle Scott, Apostle Zeta Flowers, Evangelist Kathy Horton, hallelujah, our sister that spoke, hallelujah. And of
Amen.
Course, we're just praising God for our sister Kathy. So we just pray that you have heard something that has truly blessed your soul, that has fortified you to live a more abundant life in Christ. We pray that you will not continue to acknowledge Christ in all that you do. Have a beautiful and blessed week. And it is our prayer that you be ye transformed. You are dismissed. Go in peace. And remember, God loves you, and so do we. You are dismissed, my loving family. You did a phenomenal job. Bishop loves you.
Yes,
oh,
and we love you.
We love you.
God
bless
you.
This is the best of you experience. Love you. Praise God. All right. Have a blessed week, family.
Keep me in your prayer.
Amen.
Keep me lifted.
Amen.
Up.
Amen. We're going to keep you lifted up, Mother. Amen.
All
God
right,
bless
God.
You all.
Thank you.